Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, our risen Redeemer, Jesus. Amen. Today's text is recorded in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 to 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So far the text. And our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed, last Sunday we celebrated the mountaintop, the peak festival of the Christian church year, Easter, custom that spread across the United States around Easter, a popular activity during many Easter celebrations is the Easter egg hunt. Children in particular find it exciting to rush around the house or the backyard, searching for the hidden treasure of Easter candy treats or artificial eggs with fun gifts stuffed inside. You ever wonder how egg hunts came to be part of Easter celebrations? It's my understanding that long ago there were many who considered eggs to be symbols of spring and of new life. Early Christians then, way back when, adapted these beliefs. They began to use the egg as a symbol for Jesus coming back to life and the empty shell of the egg as symbolic of Jesus' empty tomb that assures all of his Christians everlasting life. Something about Easter egg hunts, though, is possible to engage in them for the hidden treasures to stay hidden. Years ago, when I was serving as pastor of St. Matthew down in Dallas, congregation one year had an Easter egg hunt for the kids after the Easter worship service, and it was like 2 months later, I was outside mowing the church lawn, steering the riding mower around a little tree when I spied a lonely Easter egg still nestled in a crook of its lower branches. Apparently, none of the children had located it. This morning, we want to consider the Bible truth that when it comes to the blessings of Easter, which are hidden away in the risen Christ, we've all been able to locate them by God's grace and the Spirit's guidance, by the Spirit's blessing us with faith in Jesus through the Word. And in our text from Colossians chapter 3, we'll see how St. Paul teaches us now as Easter Christians to make our lives, as it were, into an ongoing, daily, great Easter day search. A search for the things which are above and a search for the real life of the world to come. May the Holy Spirit bless our meditation. Now, one of the key words in today's Colossians text is the word search. In fact, the original Greek word that's used by Paul here, zeteo, means to search for in order to find, to strive after, might even say to hunt for. It's in verse 1 where he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek, that's the word zeteo, search for those things which are above. Why? Because you're Easter Christians. Because God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places already in the risen Christ, just as he chose you in Christ before the world's foundation. And as those who once were dead, but now are in Christ alive. Now, Paul encourages and exhorts, make it your aim, make it your daily quest to seek those things which are above. How? Well, as you begin your day, as you head off to work or school, as you go about your daily activities and responsibilities, and then when you get back home after a long work day, engage in maybe some family activities, and then when your day ends and you turn in at night and lay down your head on your pillow, to let your mind be drawn towards and be filled with thoughts of heaven, where the risen Savior is sitting at God's right hand, and you will one day be. As Paul goes on to say, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, why did Paul so encourage the Christians at Colossae in this way, and why does the Lord so encourage you and me, his people today, in this way? Well, it's because we have the unholy trinity of the devil, the sinful world, and our own sin nature, which do their best to lay down stumbling blocks in our path to keep us from seeking the things which are above. You may also recall words of Jesus from his Sermon on the Mount, where he counseled his followers there on the hillside to lay aside worry, all anxious thoughts about their earthly lives, about things like what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, kinds of things the Gentiles, the nations of the world, zeteo after what they seek. You zeteo, you seek after first, Jesus said, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and knowing to your great comfort that your heavenly Father, who is well aware of your day-to-day less important earthly needs, will supply them to you just as he takes care of the less important creatures like birds of the air, as he causes flowers to grow up and blossom so beautifully and makes the grass grow nice and green, but which soon wilts and is thrown into the oven. You make your prime concern, as my disciples, the seeking after eternal things. And you know, it's quite natural for us as regenerate children of God to do that. For we've entered into a very close relationship with Christ, our risen Lord. Through his Holy Spirit, he's given us a new mind and a new heart. So just as we died with Jesus on Good Friday, Scripture teaches, we also arose with him on Easter Sunday in a spiritual sense. He's given us a share in his resurrection. So it's natural for Christians to reflect their blessed status. I'm a person who understands that the things of this life that I can see and touch and taste have fleeting temporary value, whereas the things I cannot see or touch or taste, spiritual blessings, they have abiding eternal value. And that, in contrast to worldly-minded unbelievers, what they search for, what their great ambition and hope is centered on, what they, again, they zeteo, they run after, they seek things of this life, even try to aspire to have their heaven here on earth, to find their happiness, meaning, fulfillment in fleeting earthly things. They're afflicted with what we would call the disease of materialism, which has been the great sin of the children of this world ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. We're still tempted that way as Christians today, but again, we're new in Christ. But, you know, that's the great sin ever since Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve fell, was the sin of the people, the days of Noah's flood. People who built the Tower of Babel, making a name for themselves in this world. Inhabitants of the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah before their fiery destruction by the Lord. And it's the sin of the unbelieving world today, which then spawns all kinds of bitter fruits, sins of selfishness and pride and greed, even murder. Think of all the drug deals that have gone bad, people searching and wanting to have more money. Not you Christians, Paul says. You died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Might seem a little strange to hear the apostle say that. You died? I mean, did not Jesus give himself into death to save us from dying? Didn't he tell Martha, I am the resurrection and the life? He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Also in another place, remember the words of Jesus, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. But as we noted earlier, through faith in Jesus, we've entered into a very close relationship and fellowship with him. And that includes his sufferings. And when, as I said, Jesus died on the cross and his body was laid to rest in the tomb, we died with him. We were buried with the Lord. Again, not in a physical sense, but spiritually. Our old Adam, the sin nature, our sinful flesh, was killed with Jesus and got buried with Jesus. And we became dead to sin, dead to the idols of the world, dead to the evils of the world. And then the Lord raised us spiritually, made us into a people who want to live a new life, a life of holiness patterned after his, for his praise. Or in the words of the psalmist, Psalm 1, a people who do not want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law or the word of the Lord. And in God's word, he meditates day and night, and who are like trees planted by the rivers of water that bring forth their fruit in their season, fruits of the Holy Spirit, and whose leaf shall not wither. It's also true, as Paul speaks of in this text, that our blessed status as new people in Christ, resurrected spiritually, alive in him, not open to human view, it's not very obvious. Your life is hidden. Hidden with Christ in God, writes Paul. Outwardly, it doesn't appear to be any difference, right, between believers or unbelievers. Unbelievers might point many things in the lives of Christians and say, what's the difference between you and me, or you and us? Living in the same world, we work in the same world, we engage in hobbies and pastimes in the same world, we make plans for our earthly lives, our future in this world. There's no difference between Christians and non-Christians. They may even say, what are you Christians dreaming about? How can you search for things that are above? What does that even mean? But again, what the world cannot understand or evaluate properly, Christians can. Because of the eyes of faith the Lord has given to us. Spirit given. We see with those eyes of faith the hidden treasures of Christ, which he purchased for us with his blood. The comfort of God's forgiving love. Peace that flows from the knowledge that God is our friend and father, and he suffers naught to do me harm, though many storms may gather. And he's leading me faithfully as his child, always, not just on days of blue sky, when the sun is shining and things are going well, but also when storm clouds blow in and floods of adversity touch our lives. We know as Christians, we believe this with all our hearts, that what God ordains is always good. He never will deceive me. He leads me in his own right way. And never will he leave me. And as Christ believers, Easter Christians, we carry around with us already now a little piece of heaven. It's our guaranteed inheritance. And then the time will come when we'll enter into full enjoyment of it, when the Savior returns with great power and glory with all of his holy angels, and then the life now hidden in Christ, the glorious life of Christians is going to be open and obvious to all. And then all who have fought the good fight, all who have finished the race, all who have kept the faith, all who have set their minds not on earthly things primarily, but especially on heavenly things, who searched and found in Christ their Savior life to the full, and who regarded their lives on earth as an ongoing daily great Easter Day search for the life that is to come, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, experiencing the fulfillment of Job's splendid prophecy, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." What a glorious Easter day that will be. Amen. And the peace of God that's able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
A clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit.